The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Happy Conspiracy Theory Thursday. It's 11 minutes after 6, Thursday, the 22nd of August, and quite a bit of a cooler day. We get a chance of storms and thunderstorms, things like that going on, so just watch out for that. Fortunately, though, whatever storms we do have with some lightning coming with rain, most likely, so that's a better way of having it happen, if nothing else, and I'm not going to complain too much about that one way or the other. Join the conversation at 770-563-3770-KMED. You know, some of the crimes that we have to deal with in Southern Oregon are sort of self-inflicted gunshot wounds over policies. You know, you can look at the fentanyl situation that we're dealing with and the abundance of homelessness and various other insults to our society. But there's a real aspect to American life, and maybe it's not just American life, but the difficulty of cracking down on scams. On the scammers that we have in Oregon and elsewhere. And I was reminded that yesterday, again, it's just a personal story, it's something I'm observing, is how there's just an entire industry that is built up on fleecing senior citizens and preying on their trust and well-meaning, this well-meaning aspect of trusting people. And probably because they came from the old America, that had a higher level of trust. Right now, if you're trusting any institutions, you're pretty much a fool, I think is where we've kind of figured this out at this point. But I think about people like my mother yesterday. I drop my mom's and I drop in to make sure that she's doing it. She lives on her own still and is doing fine. And she was on the phone with someone claiming to be from Reader's Digest. And she was writing down some information because they said that they had a prize for her and that they needed her address and various other things. And I just gently stopped her. I said, Mom, there's nobody from Reader's Digest calling you that needs your address. Because, she'll sit there and enter the publisher's clearinghouse and various other contests that that come in there. And, of course, Reader's Digest, that's a great trusted old that's part of the old America, the trusted institutions. I don't even know if Reader's Digest still exists. I don't think it exists any longer. If it does, maybe somebody bought the name and is doing something with it. I don't know. But so there's some clown on her cell phone, area code 410. And I walked in because I'm, making sure she's okay. And I, walk in and I realize this is what's going on. And I just touch her. I say, Mom, no, this is someone trying to scam you out of something. And stuff like this is going on all the time. And whether it's, he just wants my address so they can send me my prize. You're thinking, if you actually entered a contest, they already have your address. These are all these things. But, somebody from claiming to be a certain company reaches out to you. You know what would be going on, or many people know what would be going on with something like this. Oh, in order for us to be able to get your prize to you, we would need to, there may be $24.99 shipping and handling or something if you could, write us a check for that or do something like that. Oh, or the other thing is our agent will be coming up to your door and then you have a $500 prize. Oh, wait a minute. Our agent accidentally wrote a $1,000 prize. And so we need you to write us a check for $500 for the difference, and then you just take the $1,000 cashier's check, which is your prize, which of course is a bad fraudulent check, and then off you go. And yeah, Mom said, yeah, that's right, it's right. And it just happens all the time, and stuff like this is going on. I was talking about this with Linda at the dinner table last night, and I've had the point. She was telling me about a woman in her apartment complex when she was living in Roseburg a number of years ago, who got scammed out of quite a bit of money because they call her up and they claim that she won a boat in some contest that she had entered, or maybe something, a company that she knew, and she goes, "Oh, this would be so nice." In preying on trusting Americans you know, the trusted institutions. Oh, this is so nice. My son has always wanted a boat. She didn't want the boat for herself, you know, but she wanted to have that boat, you know, delivered so that her son, who always wanted the boat, could get a boat, you know, that kind of thing. And then the scam repeats and repeats again and repeats again. And when you talk about quality of life crimes, those are really, I look at those kind of scams on senior citizens as just as bad as having the, you know, the junkie with the fentanyl needle stuck in his arm, facilitated by Mexican and Chinese cartels and open border policy facilitated by our Democrats, of course. But, you know, those are, I mean, it's all connected to a certain extent. And in my benevolent dictatorship, I would track down every scammer and I would hang them in the public square. I just look at this as such a violation of the trust of human norms. It's no different than a bank robber. The only thing that's different is that they didn't stick a gun in your face. You know, you volunteered for the scam, I guess. But And the cops aren't going to be able to do anything. Sheriff's not going to do anything. OSP doesn't do anything. Well, you know, it's area code 410. And then you start asking yourself, you know, this is the same country that is able to find every grandmother that walked into Congress on January 6th and threatened her with years in prison for having interrupted an official government activity. You know, that kind of thing. That scam that they can do that, but they can't protect senior citizens from the scammers. You just can't. Okay, area code 410, and well, it's spoofing. They're spoofing numbers. It's not even their real phone number, people will tell me. And it's like, all right, why would you have a telephone system in which you can fake the number? I suppose this is how government spies can work, though, right? You know, if everybody's phone number was really their phone number, that would be hard for government agents to lie to you. So I guess we have to tolerate scammers being able to lie to us so that government agents can lie to us under the guise of protecting America. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to start off with such a cynical kind of grouse there. But if it were up to me, every time a scammer, every time a thief like that was caught, hanged in the public square, or at least caned, like, you know, these are the kind of crimes that for some reason I just want to go all Singapore on. Caning. In fact, I want to do the caning. And that's it. Maybe we auction off. All right, you get a chance to cane the people who have been going after senior citizens. I know, constitutional thing, Eighth Amendment, or whatever it is, cruel and unusual punishment. But so many people right now today out there, the criminal class that'll never get caught, is inflicting cruel and unusual punishment on people that don't deserve it. I don't have a solution for it right now. I guess what I'm calling for totalitarianism response to senior crime. But, and maybe it's just because, you know, you're going after leave my mom alone, okay? What did my mom ever do to you? And then being a trusting person. And a lot of people do it. Heck, I've almost, fallen to that. Ever do something on Craigslist some morning? Oh, yeah. We will have my agent come and pick up your organ. I was selling an organ speaker online at one point. And, want $1,000, but, I'm sending them a check with $1,200. If you could write a check to the agent, give them the speaker, and give them the difference, you know, the $200. Okay. Now, I wasn't born yesterday, but a lot of people get taken on it. And, yeah, I know you can say, well, people just need to be smarter about it. And smarter about it and less trusting. But should we have to be? 20 minutes after 6. This is the Bill Maher Show. 770-5633. I know it's a weird way to start off a conspiracy theory Thursday, but you would think that, if you can bust all the grandmas going into January 6th, why can't you bust the criminals trying to fleece those grandmas? What do you think?
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is now open in South Medford. The South Medford store offers the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer, with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer, with 3 Rogue Valley locations to serve you in North Medford on North Pacific Highway, Grants Pass in the Parkway Village, and now in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine. Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
Home and business owners prefer to work with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Free estimates, affordable, efficient, fast, friendly, arrive on time, finish on time. You can count on us for quality roofing. Call us today to get your estimate tomorrow. 941-3736. CCB number 230804.
The Road Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op.
A lawn that's poorly installed will probably last at the most between 10 and 15 years. You just wish that you hadn't wasted all your work and all your money. The difference to having a good lawn, one that can be good for 40 to even 60 years with proper preparation, proper planting techniques, and proper after-planting care.
Talk to the Road Gardener Saturdays 10 to noon. Hear the Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED.
Hi, I'm Michael with Gage of Construction, and I'm on KMED.
22 minutes after 6, and I just grousing about the scammers. I don't know if there's much that can be done about it. Darren, you had a problem with that, too, and your family, too, with your father. Huh? What's the story?
Yeah, Dad got to the point where he bought one of those emergency air horns for a boat.
Uh-huh.
And when he'd get a call from the little guy that came from India or wherever he was and fast talker, Dad would just stick that air horn on the phone and give him a good old blast.
I love that. I love that. Well,
that was my Christmas present to him not long after. I got him another air horn over Blackbird, and he loved it.
Well, if your mother or father, though, is living in an apartment, though, the air horn could be a problem with the landlord, just to be clear. But your dad was living on his own, if I recall, right, in a house.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was out in the house in the county. But
don't you find it interesting that they can catch every grandma that had the temerity to walk inside the Capitol after being invited in by Capitol Police on January 6th? But nothing can be done about the scammers going after those same grandmas and grandpas everywhere you look.
Hmm? Yeah, and the same thing happened scamming-wise to our youngest son when he was in the Marine Corps. They required you to use Front Wave Credit Union for your deposits, direct deposit from the government.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, they were stealing money, and it was typically when he was out on a mission. He'd come back, and it would always be like a $1.79 charge that got approved, and then they hit $5,000, $9,000. And take money out. We traced some of the IPs to like a Klamath First Federal. And when I called the bank, they had no record of a signed card by a human to open an account there. So they had somehow gone in cyber and opened an account at Klamath First Federal and were funneling money from his stolen account to the Klamath one and then off into the cloud somewhere. And when it happened at Rogue Federal, they said the same thing. We have no record of a human opening this account, but somehow they get into the system and create an account to launder the money through, and then it just disappears.
Now remember, Darren, we're told that the cashless society would be such a law-abiding society because only criminals use cash, and the online world is...
Like all the growers and marijuana and everything. Yeah, right.
So, uh-huh.
And literally nobody would touch it. CIS at Camp Pendleton.
Yeah.
The FBI, the local sheriff down in San Diego, the sheriff up here, and then the bank. They said they had a $25,000 deductible to start an investigation on an account. So
$25,000. Isn't that nice? A fraud committed with the help of their company. That's wonderful.
Exactly. They did refund or put the money back in, knowing that he didn't actually withdraw the money.
Yeah.
But the inconvenience and the multiple phone calls and the panic from my son when he comes back and he's has no money left. So. But, yeah, I found that interesting because they said, well, we have little old blue-haired ladies that have $200,000 that get taken from them here locally. So until we get a large amount of money, we won't investigate.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to hear that. This kind of puts the lie to move everything into the cloud. What could go wrong, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, and Kamala went up in an airplane to go see where that cloud was. So we're all going to sleep well.
I'll have to talk more about Kamala a little later. Hey, but thanks for sharing your story on that. Hey, had a gentleman got a speeding ticket in the mail. Hi there. What's your name? Morning.
Tom.
Hi, Tom. What happened with you?
Yeah, I got a speeding ticket in the mail. Evidently, it's the radar speeding. It kind of ties in with the story you had, the National Automobile Association.
Yeah, National Motorist Association. Yeah, I was talking with them the other day.
Yeah. On North Central, it doesn't say whether I was, let's see.
You were going into downtown Medford, weren't you?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. This is what we were talking about the other day, in which they decided under the guise of their 50-year transportation plan, the city of Medford's council, may have been a past council, approving this plan, which means anti-car and slowing people down. And at the same time, they're wondering why people don't want to go in downtown Medford and visit businesses. You ever thought about that?
Yeah.
Does 20 miles per hour make sense to you?
No, of course not.
Yeah.
I can legally, I guess, ride a bicycle faster down Central.
Yeah, that'd be interesting if the bums on the motorized bicycles would get popped. Well, of course, they don't have assets, right? You know, no assets other than the stolen bicycle. You might want to drop a note to the Medford City Council saying that you're not really helping your tourism-oriented businesses that you're trying to attract there by attacking them with 20-mile-per-hour speeding tickets, okay? You might do that. Seriously. All right, Tom?
When did they lower the speed limit on North Central to 20 miles an hour?
It was a few weeks ago, from what I understand. And people have been filling up my inbox with it ever since, and If this is how they think that downtown Medford will be revived economically, I think they're sorely mistaken. Okay, appreciate the call. 628 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG.
Well, you know, it's Orly Stoven Spas. We both recommend.
Now I told you where. Let us tell you why. You ought to stop and see our friend.
Hey, it's Lamont here from Orly's. Now is the time to stop by to add warmth, savings, and value to your home with a Blaze King, the most efficient, longest-burning wood stove available. With a burn time of up to 40 hours, a Blaze King produces constant, thermostatically controlled heat for any size home. When you choose a Blaze King, you'll be saving big on your heating costs while burning less wood in one of the lowest emission stoves available. Beat the price increases and the weather now. Come into Orly's for a limited time and get a record-breaking 30% tax credit off qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Orly's has the largest selection of qualifying units in Southern Oregon. And don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Remember, Orly's is Southern Oregon's largest Cal Spas dealer at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Crater Lake National Park's north entrance remains closed. Firefighters working the 5,200-acre Middle Fork fire continue to prepare control lines along the north entrance road and create defensible space. It's unknown when the north entrance will reopen. All other park roads are open except for construction on East Rim Drive. The fire is 0% contained. At least 5,000 birds have died so far this summer at a network of wildlife refuges on the Oregon-California border, likely a combination of avian flu and botulism. That's sparking fears of another large outbreak of disease and calls by environmentalists for more water releases in a region where farmers are already hit by drought and water uncertainty for irrigation. Well, a weather change rolls through the Rogue Valley starting today and through Sunday with rain, showers, cooler temps, and the possibility of thunderstorms. Then clearing up on Sunday, the area could see up to 2 inches of precipitation. Bill London, KMED.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:30. Casey Michel joins me. He's an author, journalist, director of the Combating Kleptocracy Program. Hey, wait a minute, Casey. Combating kleptocracy. I thought kleptocracy is what runs the world these days, but
Well, hey, I tell you, it certainly makes good fodder for some books.
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose so. Foreign Agents is a new book that you have out. This is your second book. And what you're going through now is essentially saying that we have a lot of people that work within the federal government, elected, non-elected, various other people, who end up doing the bidding of foreign actors, don't always tell everybody they're doing the bidding of foreign actors. Kind of a bipartisan world, if it comes right down to it. Why don't you break down the basic premise of the book, please?
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. Thanks so much for having me today. You know, this book, Foreign Agents, which is out on Tuesday, this is the first book to look at what is called the foreign lobbying industry. These are the Americans, the American lobbyists, American PR firms, law firms, think tanks, increasingly universities, and especially former members of Congress and former cabinet members in Washington that are acting as the mouthpieces for, and in many ways the foot soldiers for, foreign regimes around the planet. They are signing up contracts with foreign governments, foreign dictatorships, foreign oligarchs, worth millions of dollars. The industry now is worth multiple billions in and of itself. And they are doing what lobbyists in the United States have done for years and for centuries, and that's going to members of Congress, going to the White House, going to other legislators elsewhere, and lobbying on behalf of, in this case, the most tyrannical regimes on the planet, whether out of Russia or China or Iran or elsewhere, you name it. These are the Americans that have decided to become the mouthpieces for foreign regimes. As you mentioned just a moment ago, Bill, it's not just a Republican issue. It's not just a Democratic issue. It's very much a bipartisan issue across the American political spectrum, all of them realizing there is significant money to be made acting as a foreign lobbyist.
And when you talked about being bipartisan, certainly one example of this is that you talked about the Clinton Foundation, how the closer Hillary Clinton, they thought that she might have been president back 2016, I guess, you know, at that time, the more money, foreign money coming into the Clinton Foundation, right, that kind of thing. And then it vanished once she once you lost that one, right?
Yeah. This was one of the most kind of eye-popping, areas of the research for me. Because again, it's not just traditional lobbying firms or even PR firms or law firms. It's increasingly things that are nonprofits, right? So things like the Clinton Foundation. What was fascinating for me was to look at both in 2008 and 2016, look at the foreign regimes, places like Saudi Arabia, places like Kuwait, oligarchs from Russia or Kazakhstan, you name it, pouring millions. Tens of millions of dollars into the Clinton Foundation. And look, I'm sure the Saudi crown prince cares about, literacy and wherever the Clinton Foundation is working. I'm sure he's not that terrible of a guy.
But yeah, whatever. Okay. Yeah.
What these regimes were actually doing at the end of the day, they thought Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president of the United States, and they wanted to get in her good graces. And the best way for them to do that was to pour millions, tens of millions of dollars into the Clinton Foundation. And what ended up happening is, again, if you graph this out, you see these massive spikes in foreign financing for the Clinton Foundation in 2008 and 2016, and then, of course, when Clinton loses out on the White House, this steep drop-off. And it's dropped off something like 75 or 80% in terms of total donations from these regimes and even overall for the Clinton Foundation. It's really collapsed once they realized she wasn't going to get into the White House.
And so it's all about who's getting in there. And you focused a lot also on Paul Manafort of the Trump administration, too. And so that was and there was a lot of Russian money involved with that, right? That's what you're looking at here?
Yeah, Manafort was one of the most fascinating characters for me to write about in the book. He's one of the main characters in the book itself, and not just for what he did, in 2016 and afterward, but Manafort really created the modern lobbying industry in and of itself. There's one researcher I quote who says Manafort really created the kind of the swamp as we know it in Washington. And, he's a very creative guy. He's a very innovative guy. And he was incredibly successful in creating the domestic lobbying industry in the United States in the late 20th century. But what he ended up doing, which folks may remember from some of the coverage a few years ago, is he then took his talents abroad. He realized there are dictators in Nigeria, in Somalia, in the Philippines, in Ukraine. There are oligarchs around the world who want his services, who want his work, his efforts, his tools to launder their reputations, to transform them into, pro-Western, pro-American figures, but also to open the avenues and halls of power in Washington to them. And of course, Paul Manafort became Donald Trump's 2016 campaign manager, Everything ended up blowing up in his face. Trump eventually did pardon him. Just a few weeks ago, we saw him actually pop up, finally, for the first time in a while, at the RNC. So he's very much still around, though it's still very much also a question of what he's actually doing these days.
Yeah, Casey Michel once again, and it's a very interesting book, Foreign Agents, all right? And, you know, something that I've always wondered about, I'm going to ask the Thomas Massie question here, because you focus a lot on lobbying. Why isn't AIPAC required to register as a foreign agent, you know, essentially lobbying us on behalf of Israeli policy? Nothing wrong with Israel lobbying, but, you know, they act as if it's something different. Is there something different about that?
Yeah, that's a great question, and there's a little bit on AIPAC in the book, and the rub of that, or the nub of the response to why AIPAC is not registered as a foreign agent is because at the end of the day, lobbying for Americans is a constitutionally protected right. It's right there in the First Amendment, the right to petition the government for redress of grievances, and AIPAC and other similar public action committees. Those are comprised of Americans and of American financing. As far as I'm aware, as far as I've ever seen, it doesn't actually accept any foreign financing, foreign state or foreign oligarchic financing.
Oh,
it doesn't accept any financing out of Israel, which is, you know, you can call it a loophole, you can call it a workaround, but because it doesn't accept the funding from the Israeli government or other sources that are foreign themselves, it does not have to register as a foreign agent. Now, the book goes into far more detail about some of these loopholes that are being used and abused by countries around the world to get around the regulations.
Yeah, and you also suggest some reforms in there, too, that I don't have time to touch on. I am kind of surprised I didn't see anything about the Biden family issues over Burisma and various other things. Is there a reason for that, or just not known completely, or it's not a dead-bang crime at this point? What do you think?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I will say if folks are interested in that, I had an article in the New York Times just a couple of days ago on Hunter Biden and on the latest revelations, which unfortunately were not able to make it into the book itself. I think, you know, the argument of the article I had a few days ago is that the latest revelations really put this over the line in terms of Hunter Biden acting as an unregistered foreign agent, unregistered foreign lobbyist. That is a crime, and the Justice Department needs to come down hard against him because the recent evidence that came out directly contacting American officials, and again, more witnesses saying he was hired just because of who he was, not because of who he knew or what he knew or, you know, any expertise, but because he could access the sitting American president. At the end of the day, the Justice Department has to come down on him.
Casey Michel, the book is out next week, Foreign Agents. And like I said, it's sorted. Fortunately, the pages are clean, but what you're going into is not. All right.
That's right, Bill.
Yeah, it's Foreign Agents, How American Lobbyists and Lawmakers Threaten Democracy and Around the World. And like you said, it's perfectly legal to lobby, but a lot of it's hidden. And you're hoping to change that, I would imagine, through this book. That I'll give you the final word.
Absolutely. That's the hope. You're not going to ban lobbying. Again, it's a constitutional right, but more transparency, the better.
All right. Thank you, Casey. Good talk. I appreciate that. 6:39, and you're on KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
Good. Artisan Bakery Cafe Summer Specials. Now is the time to indulge in a delicious affogato. Two perfectly pulled shots of
That's 833-SHARE-55. 833-SHARE-55.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
And I'm happy to take your calls for the next, half hour or so, maybe even a little bit longer, on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. I started off the show grousing and griping about, the scammers going after my mother, other people in my milieu, and it just enrages me to my core that they go after people who are trusting types who have just done their thing. And I would just, and like I said, if I could, I would hang them in the public square. Caning them, though, I think is the first thing. I mean, is there any kind of punishment you think that could actually work on something like this? And like I mentioned, the surveillance state that we have in America right now has no problems with finding grandmothers and charging them with big crimes if they stepped into Congress after being invited in by Capitol Police. This is back, you know, January 6th at that time, 2021. But for some reason, you know, every time, everywhere you go, I'm sorry, we don't know who it is. We can't find it. Oh, it'd be too expensive, just too much. So it's all right if people get ripped off and their bank accounts are plundered and this and that and the other. I don't. Now, Dave, you talked about having one of those issues occur with you. It's not uncommon, apparently.
I got nothing happened to me, so I'm clear that
I wasn't scammed, but this is a scam where you could be fooled. It's where you get an email from somebody saying they're from Norton LifeLock.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to lock your identity, which I didn't do. And so it's a phishing expedition. They're trying to get your information so they can bleed your account and steal your identity.
Yep.
And using LifeLock as the scam, saying that you successfully got it. Except that, you know, what they said I used, I didn't use because it's not even on the internet.
Oh, I know. And this happens all the time. And the only reason that they must be doing it is because it works. It must work. Otherwise, they wouldn't continue to do these kind of things. I receive emails all the time from, I partner with a company called IONOS. IONOS. It used to be called 101. It's like an internet hosting company. And I get some email, right. An email account for my wife, Linda, and various other things through it. At least once, maybe twice a week, something comes through on inboxes on various accounts that I have, in which saying that, you know, your email password is about to be taken out, or your account's going to be canceled, and this and that and the other, or there's something wrong with the payment plan for your deal, and you just click here, right? And then,
right.
And then even Linda, who is very savvy about stuff, very savvy online, said, Bill, is this legitimate? They say they're going to that they're about ready to delete my account. It looks perfectly legit, and it does. They take the same graphics and they put it through, and then and it's all a scam. It's all a scam. It's like I don't trust anything unless I just go directly to the website of the company using
That's what I do.
Yeah,
but I wanted to say stocks and rotten tomatoes sound like a good start.
Stocks and rotten tomatoes. Yes, public shaming. But I still like the public caning. I really do. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe we need to bring Singapore over for a little while.
Yeah, for a day or two. Maybe nothing else, okay? Thanks for the call, Dave. 770-5633, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Let me go to the next line. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill, it's Cliff.
Hey, Cliff. Zone, how are you doing this morning?
Yeah, zone CPT-001.
Oh, that's the fire zone, which sounds perfectly natural. Well, if they talk about that on the air, we'll know exactly where we're discussing, I'm sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, out there in the ether. Hey, on this red light on Central and 4th,
mm-hmm.
that was put in July of 2023. They had a 30-day grace period, and then they started issuing tickets.
Oh, so it's August. Been going on longer than we thought then. Okay.
Right, right. Now, that 20-mile-an-hour zone starts at Jackson and Central.
Mm-hmm. Is there any reason to treat downtown Medford as if it was a school zone?
I don't know. I guess they're looking for save pedestrian lives and bicyclist lives.
Okay. All right. I'll go back to what the fellow from the National Motorist Association would be talking about, and this has to do with road equity. Why do we assume that we have to take the bicycle bum way and cram it in with regular traffic on one of the most heavily traveled routes through downtown Medford? Does that make sense to you?
Well, it goes back to what you harp on, is the grant stream funding
mm-hmm.
with the earmarks that X amount of money goes to bike lanes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. And
I would dare say, though, that this is something that city councilors need to address. And I don't think that they have been very defensive of what actually works here. It's almost like I don't know if it's just that city staff comes there and says, oh, yeah, this is the really neat, cool thing for we cool kids in the progressive planning world are supposed to do. We'll take away a lane, give it to the bicycle bums and put some bollards up there. But you'll get free money to repave part of your downtown streets, right?
Right. Yeah, that's yeah, like that. Hey, on the issue of the identity
scammers and so much more. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I got caught up in that Equifax breach quite a few years ago, and shortly thereafter, within the next 6 months, I got two letters in the mail that someone was trying to open up credit cards in my name.
Mm-hmm.
So I called them up. One was more helpful than the other. And the lady was saying that, you know, I asked him, well, they got my social? Yeah. They got your address? Yeah. You know, they had everything. So I went out and froze my credit.
So nobody can open anything in your name, right?
Right, right. And if you need to apply for credit, they you've got links that they send you with a code, and then you can unfreeze it for a short specific time. And it's fairly easy.
That sounds like a smart way of going about it, really.
Right. Mm-hmm. But going back to what you and your mom had experienced, a classic example is yesterday I got a call from some nice Indian, East Indian woman saying if I had received my new Medicaid card in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they have your information. They want to confirm it and get your social and all that, and then, you know, go down that rabbit hole.
Fascinating how, like I said, we can find grandmas January 6th, but you can't find those guys, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I know.
Yeah, something tells me it has more to do with political will. Appreciate the call there, Cliff. Let me go to the next line here. It's open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. How you doing? Hello?
Is that me?
That is you. Good morning.
Okay, so, you know, anyone who's got one of those letters in the mail for the traffic cameras, here's what it says. It says, please sign here if you were not driving your vehicle. Then in big, bold letters, it says, please tell us who was driving your vehicle. Well, you know, it doesn't take a genius to figure out. It's not my job to incriminate anybody. So I got one, and I signed it. I said, I'm not driving the vehicle. I didn't tell them who was driving it, and I mailed it back, and that was the end of it. So, you know, if people want to make these things go away, they just return the form saying they weren't driving the car. That's the end of it. Put the burden of proof on the state. You know, it's ridiculous that people are paying these tickets.
Hmm. Well, what's even worse, though, is that how it affects the insurance rating in the future, right?
Well, I didn't get – well, no. I have no ticket. I got – and actually, I wasn't driving the vehicle as it happened. But it came in the mail, like 42 and a 35 there on Biddle and McAndrews, and I got – and I'd never gotten one before. I looked at it real close, and it says, if you were not driving the vehicle, please sign here. And then in big, bold letters, it says, please tell us who was driving your vehicle.
Is there a law that requires you to tell them, though? I don't know.
Absolutely not. This is America. Absolutely not.
Huh. Well, they did say please, right?
It is preposterous. So that's where we got off the rail, thinking we got to tell on ourselves and our friends. I have not been castrated yet.
Okay. All right. Glad to hear that. Thanks, David. 770-5633. If you are on hold, I will get right to you. We can talk about scams. We can talk about anything else on your mind. The downtown speed limit, which is absolutely insanity, as businesses continue to hemorrhage from the downtown Medford core. But in case they keep coming up with reasons to say, hey, why don't we have open streets? Let's close the streets and make sure that nobody wants to go through downtown Medford at some point. But we can jump on that and anything else. Something else I also wanted to toss out to you this morning. Looks pretty clear that RFK Jr. is going to drop out and leave the presidential candidate race tomorrow. And the story is he's going to be in the same town that President Trump is at the same time. And he's going to do this. It's when he's going to quit. The talk is that he's going to endorse President Trump. What are your feelings about RFK Jr. endorsing President Trump? And the talk is maybe they'd find a room for him in the cabinet. That's the story. Good idea, bad idea, somewhere in between. 770-5633. That and more on Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
Hi, this is Paul from Valley Nursery. It's time to color up your backyard for summer barbecues, and we can help. Patio planters and select summer flowers are now 20% off. If you need more shade, we have that too. Now 20 to 36% off all shade, flowering, and conifer trees. For color and choice you won't see anywhere else and summer promotions, go to valleyofnursery.com. Google Map Valley Nursery and find us closer than you think.
This is Brent with Homan Built Deck and Fence, experts in custom deck and fence construction. As an authorized Trex Pro deck builder, we use the highest quality products for your deck, including custom handrail packages, drainage systems, and even deck lighting. As a small hometown business, we provide personalized design and creative solutions for your outdoor space. My website is homanbuilt.com, H-O-M-A-N-built.com. Homan Built Deck and Fence. We build the best and fix the rest.
CCB 232-17.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your tonneau cover source. Tonneau covers are a great way to secure and protect the cargo in your bed from the elements. Styles from Truck Gear, Mack Industries, Undercover, and more. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer? Whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, during our biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
5 before 7, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass is where you happen to be. This is the Bill Myers Show. This open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday for the next half hour. And I just enjoy noodling around whatever topics are on your mind. Jerry, you wanted to talk about the red light camera downtown and maybe some irritation about same. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't have any irritation, Bill. I've never been caught by any photo camera.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Anyway, but I've read a little bit about it because I've been interested. And here's what I found out. Even if you went through a photo camera or, I believe, even one of the photo vans, you would have to be doing 11 miles over the speed limit to get a ticket.
I've heard the same thing. Other people have pretty much told me that. Yeah.
Now, if you go through a camera at intersection on green and you're doing over 11 miles an hour over the speed limit, you will be ticketed even though you didn't run a red light.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They have the speed cameras there now, not just the red light.
Yeah. And anyway, I wasn't aware of that, but now I'm aware of that. Seems like there was one other point, but
yeah. Well, I was going through the most famous one, I think, downtown over at McAndrews and Biddle. It's a pretty heavily traveled intersection. I was there the other day, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this big beer bellied biker man on his Harley, on his hog, right? And you can tell the lights turning red for him, and he's blasting through the intersection. I'm thinking, wait for it, flash, there it goes. And yeah, you knew he was getting popped there. Is this good public policy, though? Maybe let me ask you that, Jerry. Is it good public policy?
I don't know, Bill. You know, hey, we know. I know. I recall why they first started doing this. It was about having crashes primarily down at McAndrews and Biddle Road area.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, hey, you know, we're having all these crashes. People are running red lights. This is why we have to do this. And I believe Sal Esquivel at the time might have had something to do with that, but I don't recall if he did or not. You know, I think it's just a way for the revenuers to put more money in their pocket.
Yeah, could be. I appreciate the call. Thank you for that. Let me go to Nigel Horesca. Hello, Nigel. He's saying, watching out on the ballot, huh? What are you thinking?
Yes, sir. Hey, Bill. How's it going? I was noticing in the newspaper that a Three Rivers School District again filed on August the 16th, 2024, for another bond. We just voted that bond down. And the reason I called in is because you were talking about grifters taking advantage of senior citizens. Well, David Valenzuela and them seem like the grifters taking advantage of our senior citizens. We voted it down. And now they're bringing it back on us again. So bring that aware to the people. And thank you very much, Bill.
All right. Thank you, Nigel. By the way, Three Rivers School District, the average cost on per child each year, about $30,000. Richard Emmons reported on that in the Oregon Eagle. Yikes, $30,000 per student. And it's still not enough, I guess. Hello, Holly Morton. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. But I'm calling in because I feel like we're being manipulated on so many different levels. And my ask to the citizens is step up, speak up about it. And one thing is speaking of school district. School District 7 needs citizens to call in and or write in and say, look, we don't want our children exposed to these nasty books that they've got. You know, they keep saying, you want to ban books. Well, you know, we want to put them in areas that little kids don't get them. And the school.
The reason why we have adults, usually have adults in charge of society, and there are age-based accesses to certain things, whether it is firearms or driving or being able to contract and various other things, is because young people aren't able to make up those, aren't really qualified to make those kind of decisions. And that's what parents are for. Not about
when they see these books in the library, you know, they'll take them out and start looking at things that, you know, it isn't what we want our children's focus to be. That's one thing we need right into the school. The second thing is we need to absolutely say no when we hear these lies like the John West recall. That's just the big lie. That's ridiculous. We're being manipulated on so many different levels. The Grants Pass Tribune is now going after Ron Smith and Chris Barnett, two excellent candidates, and with a lot of things that just are not true. And we need, as citizens, we need to call them out and say, you know, this is not correct, this is not true, and get the word out. Because there are so many people who are receiving this, a lot of information, they believe it to be true when it is absolutely not.
You know, an interesting rumor that I have heard at this point, I've not been able to confirm this, but I'm getting this from a pretty good source in Joe County, is claiming that a lot of the recall going on are from people who are employed by Josephine County because they realize that there's a lot of problems there fiscally and that a lot of people are going to have their jobs probably tweaked, reduced, or terminated. And that they're thinking that the best way to avoid this, to keep the to keep things going, is to blast out anybody who actually. But of course, I don't know how that makes it easier for the next county commissioners coming in, because there's still no money. You know, you know what I'm getting at?
Well, but they're not thinking in those terms. These people, I mean, this is the bottom line. They've got about 450 employees. And since we lost the timber industry and we don't have that kind of revenue flow and tax increases are like 3% a year, they're having a heck of a time bringing enough revenue in to pay for all of these people. And so obviously you're going to have to, you know, cut down the number of people, probably to about 250. So they're looking at that and they're saying, oh, my gosh. But rather than saying,
yeah, so no, let's pull out John West, because he'd be one of the people that would right. be trying to, get it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right. Holly, thank you for the suggestion there, too. Tom's in Talent. Hello, Tom. Is your power on? That's the first question I have to ask anybody who calls in from Talent. That's the first thing. Is your power on?
Yes, it's on.
Okay, good. All right, we can continue. What's going on?
Well, I was listening to, you know, everything going on about downtown Medford. I must say that that I've never seen a city council so self-destructive as Medford. It just seems like they make so many negative, counterproductive decisions, one after the other. And also wanted to make it clear that one of the reasons they're off the rails is they go to Socan and Allergan-A and is gangrene for their advice and guidance to guide them through into the new 15-minute city. And that's a lot of the reasons why the main street is an obstacle course. My other half, she was driving down the other day, and it's very difficult to figure out just where you're supposed to be and not hit anybody or anything or be hit. And making a left-hand turn was like very close to an accident and so forth. It's not based on reason, but on these political agendas. It's nuts.
Well, I don't know if I can blame the current one or not, because the one thing I am finding out is that a lot of decisions were made here from several years ago. But what has concerned me is that the general feeling of the Medford City Council is that it's not very proactive at connecting dots at what accepting this grant stream funding will do in the future. See what I'm getting at? You know, it's like, oh, well, we can, you know, get this done with this particular thing, but all we have to do is put bike lanes in, you know, downtown. It's like, okay, yeah. Why can't you connect the dots, realizing that this is not going to make your downtown tourism friendly, in spite of the fact that Alan Journay may like it? In other words, and people are saying, well, people who are of common sense need to be, you know, contacting the Medford City Council. And that is true. But then I would say the Medford City Council should be smart enough to be able to resist the siren song of radical activists and realize that their job, first and foremost, is to protect what works. Most people don't think they have to get in touch with the city council to say, hey, don't destroy your downtown with 20-mile-per-hour speed limits and bicycle lanes for the bums. Okay? They don't think that they have to actually tell them this. And so they put it in, and then you have to try to get it out after the fact rather than be smart and don't do it in the first place, Tom. That's where I'm kind of coming from. And I don't know what drives that. You know?
Yeah, well, laziness and also I think economics. Most people are so damn busy they don't have time to pay too much attention to the city council and so forth. But unfortunately, the reverse is not true. And so we end up with what's going on. Maybe in the future, maybe it'll be the same solution that happened in London, where people started using cameras for target practice and so forth.
Yeah, maybe so. It could go there. I don't know. I appreciate the call there, Tom. If you're on hold, I will get right to you. This is Conspiracy Theory Thursday, and taking your calls at 770-5633.